Brothers and sisters, today is a day for great joy and thanksgiving to God, as well as being a seminal moment in the history of our year and a half old church. Upon a 100% vote of approval by the membership, we today ordain our brother, Quinn Clement Schlimm, to the office of elder at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, in recognition that pastors are a gift to the Church of Jesus Christ, called to the ministry by the Holy Spirit, and recognized by the Church. Loved ones, we serve a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God, our Heavenly Father, who delights to give good gifts to His children, but always on His timeline and for His glory. Quinn became a member of New City Baptist in June of 2021 and a charter member of Mount Pleasant Baptist in January of 2024. And today, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church will ordain Quinn Clement Schlimm to the office of elder, of shepherd, of pastor, of overseer, of bishop. They're all the same office. So that Quinn, Alex, and I, together, by God's enabling, might watch over this local assembly, guarding and protecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, guarding and protecting the sheep of this flock, teaching together, leading together, modeling together, praying together. So let me tell you what the next part of the service is going to look like, because this is new for most of us. I'm going to charge Quinn, like the Apostle Paul charged Timothy, to watch his life and his doctrine closely. I'm going to preach to him. And then I'm going to charge Mount Pleasant to love Quinn, their new pastor. I'm going to preach that to you. So what follows really is a two-point charge. You can see this in your bulletin. First to Quinn, and then to the members of this church. After that, Quinn will take a vow. He'll make a solemn promise, God's grace enabling him to follow out and live in the light of what the New Testament requires of pastors. Whereupon, we'll ask our brother to come to the front down here and kneel. And Pastor Alex and I will lay hands on Quinn and pray for him, setting him aside to the office of pastor. So first, Quinn, my charge to you, brother. And I'm going to preach this the same way that I preach my wedding sermons. I'm going to directly to the people involved. So I'm going to be looking at you a lot over the next little while, Quinn. All right. Everyone, would you please open your Bibles again to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. This is on page 961, where the apostle writes to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. He says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent to these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." As verse 16 says that Timothy is to watch closely. He's to continually watch closely. And his life and his doctrine are to be actually the primary target of his vigilant watching. Both need to be thoroughly biblical, thoroughly upright. And Timothy's to persevere in doing so. He must be vigilantly on guard to ensure that nothing slips in a way that would deter him from God's word and God's message. And brother, that's going to be my charge to you today. It's going to be the same thing. As you are set apart to this ministry, brother, you must demonstrate evidence of two realities. First, that you are watching your life. And second, that you are, in fact, doctrinally sound. There's too much at stake, Quinn. There are certain requirements for effective biblical oversight of a local church, qualities and attributes a pastor must possess. And one of those requirements is an exemplary Christian lifestyle. Verse 12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. And then Paul lists five areas of life in which Timothy is to set that example in his speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Okay, let's just make sure we understand the background to this. Timothy, you'll recall, he is acting as the Apostle Paul's delegate. He is an apostolic delegate sent to the church in Ephesus. He's going to a church plagued with false teaching. Unqualified, immoral men are serving in this church as pastors. And Timothy is on a mission. Paul's already commissioned this brother in chapter 1, verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. So when we come to chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul's saying, Timothy, you're not some whippersnapper I've sent who just is lovelessly and with no restraint just stirring up all kinds of trouble in that Ephesian church. You are my apostolic representative. Your age doesn't matter. It's your character that counts. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And that's meant to be an encouragement to young Timothy. And it's a word of warning, obviously, to the Ephesian church as well. Now, youth, who is young? I mean, that's relative, right? Take the 90s TV show Friends, for example. I mean, those people were all 30-somethings in that show. But you'd think they're a bunch of teenagers by their lifestyles, right? So Timothy is probably in his 30s, but he wouldn't be over 40. In that culture, young men were under the age of 40. So after today, Mount Pleasant, we'll have two young men serving as pastors of this church, and then one 48-year-old fogey, all right? But we don't know the age of the false teachers in the church that's causing so much trouble. Perhaps they're men in their 50s and 60s and 70s, real sages with honorable gray in their beards. So Paul writes, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Now, Quinn, if that verse stood all by itself, then one of the ways for younger pastors such as yourself to stop people in the church from looking down on you would be just to clobber them with that verse. It would be a club that you carry around in your back pocket. And the second any older saint at Mount Pleasant second-guessed you or criticized you, wham! And it sounds even more intimidating in the King James Version. Let no man despise thy youth. Wham! That's not how it works. Paul writes, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So that means this verse isn't just a giant club. It's an exhortation to Timothy to so live that people can't look down on him. And as a counterbalance to ageism in the church, Timothy is to live in an exemplary manner. He's to set an example for the believers in godliness so that it will become evident to everyone that authority in the church is contingent on character, not age. And just like Timothy, Quinn, you, brother, must set an example for your Mount Pleasant brothers and sisters in five different areas of your life. The first being speech. Brother, as you watch your life closely, set an example to all of us in how you talk. Do you remember what our Lord's half-brother James wrote in the scriptures about the tongue? The tongue is a very small organ of the body, but its sinful impact is all out of proportion to its size. And our control of this organ, by taming our tongues, by bridling our tongues, that action of Christian obedience testifies to our transformed hearts. It shows the world that we're new creations in Jesus Christ. It's evidence that we have indeed been birthed through the word of truth. James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Quinn, a pastor must model this truth to his congregation. It must be on evident display in your life, brother. You have a public ministry. And in the furtherance of that ministry, you'll be using your tongue, your speech, every single day. Your religion must testify to the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit, a gift purchased for you through the substitutionary death of your Savior Jesus, and in whom you have placed your faith. Your religion, Quinn, as evidenced through your speech, through how you talk, is not worthless. It's genuine. 2 Timothy 4:1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach with your speech. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct with your speech. Rebuke with your speech. And encourage with your speech, with great patience and careful instruction with your speech. Quinn, your life will be characterized by patient speech and by gentle speech, loving speech, humble speech, speech that's seasoned with salt, wise speech, speech which makes much of God's glory. You will be slow to speak on some occasions, Quinn, and quick to speak on other occasions, and in no uncertain terms. Correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. Set the example to us, brother. The elder also sets an example to his congregation by his conduct, that is, by his manner of life. That means you're to live in a way, Quinn, that corresponds to what you profess to believe. That doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect. Nobody is. But it means there's no obvious inconsistency or flaw that everyone in the church agrees is there and serves as a reproach to you and the power of the gospel. By the way, Phoebe, you're welcome to come up here too. You're welcome to. Just if you know that. Brother, your life is to be so consistent with the teachings of Scripture that it doesn't provide opportunities for disgrace or blame to be attached to it. In the church, at home, at work, with your neighbors, in every sphere of your life. Right? As your wife joins you now, in every sphere of your life, at work, at home, others at this church need to be able to point to you, brother, and say, there's a good way to live. Look at what Quinn's doing. Look how he's behaving. Look how he's acting. I would do well to live like Quinn Clement Schlimm. That would be a blessing to my wife if I lived like Quinn. It would be a blessing to my kids, my fellow Mount Pleasant members, if I took a page from his book. Quinn's conduct, his manner of life in all those spheres is good. As well, brother, you're to set an example to this flock in love. Now, in a moment, I'll be charging the members of this assembly to love you. But you need to set the example. And Christians living in the inaugurated kingdom of Jesus Christ are to be characterized by love, aren't we? The day before he was crucified, and just after having washed his disciples' dirty feet, Jesus told his disciples in John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that love is to characterize the leaders of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. We're the ones setting the example, brother, loving our wife, loving the people, the different types of sheep, many times difficult sheep, God has entrusted to our care. Every member of Mount Pleasant needs to be able to point to you, Quinn, and say, I will strive to love my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ as I see it modeled in Pastor Quinn's love for me. But there's a special way, a unique way, Quinn, that you're to show your love for Jesus and his people at this church a way the non-elders of this church are not called to love. Turn to John 21, 15. This is on page 881 of our Pew Bible. John 21, 15. This is the famous scene of Jesus on the beach after his resurrection. When they had finished eating, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" That is, these other disciples who are here with us on the beach. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Even though I denied you three times while you were being tortured, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter is wise, right? He doesn't try to answer Jesus in terms of the relative strength of his love compared to the other men. He appeals to Jesus' knowledge. He appeals to his omniscience. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know everything, Lord. You know that I love you. Despite my failure, I love you. You know I do." And then Jesus accepts his declaration and gives him a commission. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is saying, "Your love for me, Peter, and the evidence of your reinstatement are to be displayed in your pastoral care. The pastoral care of my flock." This isn't evangelism Jesus is talking about here. It's pastoring. "Feed my lambs, Peter. Take care of my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter." Quinn, do you love Jesus? Do you love the people of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church? Feed Jesus' lambs, Quinn. Take care of Jesus' sheep, Quinn. Feed Jesus' sheep, brother. Be a shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Brother, you are to be an example of faith to the flock God has entrusted to your care, which means you are to be a trustworthy man, and your purity is to be unquestionable. And this word purity has sexual connotations. Paul uses it again in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 5, 2. "Treat younger women as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." Which means there isn't to be a whiff of sexual impropriety in your life, Quinn. Pastors must not have wandering eyes. You're to be discreet in your contacts with women, brother. You're not to be flirtatious. And the women in the church know that you're not. They feel comfortable in your presence. They're not picking up any creepy vibes. You're not saying inappropriate things, double entendres, and sexually tinged jokes. Quinn, you are called by God to treat the women of this church as your mother, as your biological sisters, right? And Paul's argument here is that as the men of Mount Pleasant see that, as they see you acting in this way towards the women of this church, they then in turn will model your behavior. They will treat the women of this church like their biological sisters too, like their mothers as well. So Quinn, as a young man in a position of leadership in the church, the way to stop others from looking down on you is to set such an example in speech and life and love and faith and impurity that your transparent godliness silences all your critics. Brother, see your life as set apart for the Master's use, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and strive by the grace of God to grow more and more like Jesus in all that you do for God's glory. be determined to always continue in this direction, no matter what pressures are there that will inevitably come along in your life and test you. Hear the words of Charles Spurgeon. "The great enemy of souls takes care to leave no stone unturned for the preacher's ruin." Quinn, know your own disqualifying propensities. Every pastor has them. Know them well. As one writer puts it, be aware of the low spots in your heart's wall where temptations tend to make their assaults. Know the low parts of your heart's wall. Continue to fight back against sin, mortifying sin by the Spirit's power wherever you find it, Romans 8:13. Keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, so that the deeds of the flesh might wither and the fruit of the Spirit ripen in your life. Let God's word renew your mind. Don't be squished into the world's mold. Daily offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1-2. Show your brothers and sisters, by example, how they should conduct themselves as you continue to conduct yourself well and teach good doctrine. And that's the second point of my charge to you today, brother. Quinn, you must demonstrate that you are doctrinally sound by steadfastly adhering to biblical truth. Watch your doctrine. Watch your teaching. Listen to me, brother, for your sake, for the sake of the whole church, and for the glory of God, stay away from anything and everything that veers you away from the pristine magnificence of the Word of God. No matter how intriguingly interesting or appealing another doctrine might be, no matter how intellectually inviting another teaching might be, no matter how supposedly freeing a new orthodoxy appears to you, no matter how many people might be embracing some new teaching that they want you to consider and pass on to the sheep, no matter how obstinate or out of date your teaching might appear to others to be, tenaciously hold on faithfully to the entire corpus of Scripture. Don't let yourself be swayed or deceived by any of it, brother. Your local church is depending on you. None of it is new. And none of it is what the church needs to become vibrant and alive. Feed Jesus' sheep, Quinn. Take care of Jesus' lambs. Furthermore, never work to make the message you preach seemingly more acceptable, because people might object to some of the hard truths of Scripture. Rather, speak the truth in love. The truth in love. Speak it. Remember how subtle the evil one's attacks can be. You can start thinking, well, why not a more appealing, embracing, acceptable message? Why not something new? Why not just a sweet, soothing message of love? The words in 1 Timothy 4:16 answer those questions completely. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's why. That's why you never give in. Why you persevere. Quinn, if you or I or Pastor Alex neglect the command of 1 Timothy 4:16, if we fail to watch our life and doctrine closely, carefully, uncompromisingly, negative consequences follow. They're inevitable. Souls are lost. Churches are destroyed. The gospel in the name of Jesus is disgraced in this world. But if the elders persevere in this holy way, then there is spiritual fruit. And what is the fruit of godly leadership? Not only your own perseverance in the faith, brother, issuing in your salvation at the consummation, but the salvation of your hearers. Of course, I mean, the Bible teaches clearly that we're incapable of saving ourselves from the just penalty of our sin and our rebellion against our Creator God, just as we are equally incapable of saving anyone else. God is the only Savior. It's only by his marvelous plan of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that any of us are spared the punishment that we deserve. And the Bible tells us that there is nothing that we can do to earn or to merit this great gift of eternal life and divine forgiveness. It's the gift of God that we receive through faith. Jesus is my substitute. Jesus dies on the cross, and his death is the penalty for my sin. My rebellion against the holy God is punished in his bloody, broken body. And God the judge is satisfied to look on Jesus and pardon me. So obviously, the statement in verse 16 that the pastor can save both himself and his hearers is not meant in any sort of ultimate sense. No, Paul's just saying God uses means to accomplish his purposes. There is a God-ordained human agency in the experience of salvation. And God uses pastors. Speaking of pastors, the late John MacArthur wrote this: "We are the agents by which God brings the grace of salvation to lost people. That's the sum of the ministry. And holiness and commitment to truth moves us along the persevering path of true salvation and makes us a blessing to all who hear our message." Friend, perhaps God has brought you to this church that you might be saved under Pastor Quinn's future ministry. And then as you imitate his life and heed his teaching, you persevere in your faith to the end. It's been happening that way for 2,000 years. God saves his people through the preaching of the word, through the preaching of the good news about Jesus, through the exhortation and teaching that continually implores sinners to repent of sin and trust in Christ, and through the godly example of those pastors who are faithfully walking with the Lord. God uses those means to change hearts. He uses those means to sustain faith. Quinn, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in your speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, brother, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And now, the charge to my brothers and sisters, the members of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Let me begin this next section by making an observation. The older I get, the more the Bible seems to be telling me about love. God our Father acted out of love when he sent Jesus to save us. In love for God and for us, Jesus gave his life in our place. Love is a primary fruit or evidence of God the Holy Spirit dwelling in a Christian. And the Apostle Paul and John and a host of other Bible authors make the point that we're to authentically love one another. Romans 12, 9 to 10. Paul writes, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Now, you may be thinking, "Pastor John, I know I need to love my spouse. Check. I need to love my kids. Check. I need to love my church. Mostly. Check. But love my pastor? Isn't it his job to love me?" Mount Pleasant, before we set Quinn apart to the office of elder, let me give you this one charge. Love your pastor. Love Pastor Quinn. I can think of many things to tell you today. I could tell you how you ought to listen to Quinn's pastoral counsel. I can tell you to support his decisions. I have many strong and opinionated opinions about those sorts of things, and I have scripture texts to back them up too. But instead, I choose to tell you one thing, this one thing that I think will guide you better than anything else that I could mention. Love your pastor. Mount Pleasant, as you can see in your bulletin, love Quinn for his noble desire to serve both God and you. 1 Timothy 3:1. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Well, why is that? We looked at this before, but why is that? Why is the pastorate, desiring the pastorate, a noble task? It's because the church of the living God is the pillar and protector of the truth of the gospel. And that glorious gospel truth and the blood-bought sheep who believe that truth must be protected. That gospel truth, once entrusted to the saints, must be guarded. It must be defended. It must be passed on to a new generation. And Quinn, as an overseer, has been raised up by God to be a shepherd over Jesus' own flock. He's been called by God to nourish the members of Mount Pleasant Baptist and to cause those members to grow spiritually. How so? Through working hard at preaching and teaching the word, praying for God's people, and leading by the example of his Christian character. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. But Quinn isn't doing this for the money. God forbid. We wouldn't want him for a pastor if he did. Nor is he doing this because he loves power or because he loves the seat of honor at the head of the table. We've all already seen Quinn's selfless commitment to the corporate life of this local assembly. Our brother is a servant, and now he's moving into servant leadership, lovingly willing to have his life complicated, brothers and sisters, by your burdens, your sorrows, your trials, your spiritual needs along this marathon of faith. He heard the summons. He heard the call to protect you as a shepherd of this local church. But it's certainly not an office to be entered into lightly. What does Paul say in his farewell address to the Ephesian elders? Let me just read you a couple of verses from Acts 20:28. This is his farewell address to these pastors. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves, first and foremost, and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." These are the guys that 1 Timothy, that Timothy himself is confronting, these savage wolves. "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." God's church needs pastors. It needs pastors who will function not first as priests or CEOs, but as shepherds. Shepherds who will protect God's people, feed them spiritual food, lead them by modeling godly character, and care for them in life's temptations, trials, and triumphs. And our brother Quinn, in the fear of the Lord, as he prayerfully depends upon God for enabling grace, has desired this noble task, and we've called him to it, and God will hold him to account on the last day. This is not an office to be entered into lightly. So, love Pastor Quinn, Mount Pleasant. Love him for loving God and us enough to do this. Second, love his wife, Phoebe. I'll just tell you a secret. One great way to have a happy pastor is to have a happy pastor's wife. And few things will encourage your pastor more than when you love the one he loves most of all. Always remember that Phoebe helps to carry her husband's load, but she's not paid to do so. No wife is. But Phoebe, just one example, enables Quinn to be hospitable, which he must be in order to be a pastor. And Phoebe will carry the brunt of raising faithful, obedient children, which they must have in order for Quinn to be a pastor. Mount Pleasant, honor and love our sister Phoebe. We don't deserve her, but we've got her. So love Phoebe, encourage Phoebe, honor her. Thank God for her. Love Quinn's children. This is a bit premature, but I want to nip this in the bud. There is a silent pressure on a pastor, and it can weigh him down like a bag of cement. His children. He knows he's called to prioritize them and to teach them the ways of God, but like any parent, he has to learn all this as he goes along on the fly, while also trying to have something to say to everybody else about how to do it. And I've been in churches where things are not going well in a pastor's child's life. Some of those churches know just what to do. They come alongside their pastor with encouraging words, and they actually get down on their knees and pray for that man's kids. Mount Pleasant, if you're going to love this man, you will truly love his children. You will not judge them or hold them to some higher standard. You will expect that they need to hear the gospel just as much as any other kid in this church. You will not be fooled by their Sunday school answers. You will not demand they all become pastors and deacons. You will love them for who they are. Mount Pleasant, love Quinn with your complaints. Christians have a hard time with this, but I want to call you to it. We've lost the art of disagreement. We have become numb to the Bible texts that teach us to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. But if you love this man, you will learn to come in all humility and speak privately to him about your concerns. You will not make snide remarks or gossip or spread disunity or hold resentments that spread into gangrenous bitterness. When you truly love someone, you can come to them quietly and humbly with honest questions and self-searching that allows for disagreements to lead to agreements. Love Quinn with your complaints. Love Quinn when you don't understand him. Because it's an odd thing to be a pastor. It's odd. We become involved in all the intricacies of other people's lives, and sometimes we know things about others or a situation that we simply cannot divulge. And often, it's in these times when misunderstandings grow. Pastor, why aren't you doing this or putting a stop to that? Where were you when this thing happened? Why did this thing suddenly stop? Why didn't you come when we asked? How come I have to wait so long to meet with you? Mount Pleasant, if you love Pastor Quinn, you will hope all things. Because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. You will assume Quinn is wise in the use of his time. You will expect that there are things that he knows that you don't know, nor need to know. And you will bless him, even when he seems to go in a direction that you find less than compelling. love him when you don't understand him. Mount Pleasant loved Quinn for a long time. There really is a curse on the pulpits of Canada. Men are afraid to stay in any one place too long. It's 2, 3, 4 years max. Or they stay a long time, but they stop growing in Christ. Both are a scourge, but a wise church will set her heart on loving her pastors for a long, long time. Not just putting up with us, but loving us. You must commit to loving Quinn for the long term. You want a man to be here to marry you, bless your babies, baptize the believers, and bury your dead. You don't want a stranger doing that. You don't want some hired gun. But if that's so, then you must commit to much more than just tolerating Quinn. You must love your brother. Love him. Love him so much that Quinn thinks to himself on his worst days as a pastor at Mount Pleasant, I'd be a fool to move on from here. Finally, love Quinn because God loved you. The final and great motivation to our love is never, ever what it gets us. True love is seen in Christ, Ephesians 5:1-2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So copy God, Mount Pleasant. Do what he does. Be like him. Be like God. Walk in the way of love. Yes, by all means, with one another, we're called to that. But remember to love Pastor Quinn too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, your word is rich. It's compelling. It's life-giving. Give us grace that we may hear your voice and obey. May Pastor Quinn indeed model an exemplary Christian lifestyle. Give him grace to watch his life and doctrine closely. May he persevere in both, Father. And may Mount Pleasant Baptist Church love Pastor Quinn. For Jesus' sake, amen.